Blog Talk Radio.
Come into this house, gather in his name, and worship him.
Welcome, come on in.
We have come into this house, gather in his name, and worship him. Come into the house, gather in his name, and worship Christ, our Lord. Worship him, Christ our Lord. Glory to God. Welcome, 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 Kingdom greetings, and welcome to Tamayo Deliverance Ministries, TDM Sunday Fellowship. I am excited about what God is going to do, what he has already done, and what he continues to do. I welcome you in the name of the Son and the Holy Ghost. God, come on this house. Come on in. It is such an honor. It is such a pleasure. It is such a joy when we come together, when brothers and sisters could come together in unity, on one accord, in our whole purpose and our whole goal is just to uplift his name, to tell someone about his goodness, to tell someone about his mercy, to let somebody know somewhere that God reigns. He's in the throne. He is alive. Glory to God. And I am excited on this day. Hallelujah. I know we have people in different time zones, and I bless you for making that sacrifice to come together and just to hear what the Lord has for us. And most importantly, just for us to fellowship with one another. The Bible says that we are many members, but we are one body. We're located in all different geographical regions. We have people here online call, and those that are calling in that from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We have people that are overseas that have tuned in. So I bless God for you, and I thank God for whatever needs that you have, whatever you are searching for, whatever your desire is, we know that God is able to meet every need, every desire. Glory to God. So again, welcome to TDM's Sunday Fellowship. We've been doing this for many years, and I just bless God for the people that he has allowed to cross our path, because the one thing we all know, we need each other. This kingdom is built on not just one person, but on all of us. An island is never an island by itself. We know that on an island you have trees, you have wildlife, you have a whole lot of things. You've got plants, you've got numerous things. And so that's what makes an island, and this is what makes us the body of Christ. We are from various places, various denominations. Our whole desire is to come together in fellowship. Amen. So there is a word from the Lord. And before I share what the Lord shared with me, I just wonder, Father God, this day, a day that was not promised to us. God, we thank you. Glory to God that you have allowed us to see this day. Depending on where we are located, you've allowed us see the sunrise, and some are already seeing the sunset. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your protection. We thank you, Lord, that you are the great I am, that whatever we stand in need of, you will be there for us. So, Father, as we are attentive to the word you have for us today, Lord, open our hearts that we're able to receive. God, give us clarity of the word and the knowledge that you want us to have, oh God. And Lord, we will forever give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And right now, I'm just going to give him a hand clap of praise. Glory to God, because I am in expectation. Even though the word comes to me first, I never know what the word is going to be, because we know the word is controlled, and 9 out of 10 times he changes the script on me. He may say, I want you to talk about this, and then he will say, now I need you to move into this area. So just bless God. We just got something about to do. So today I want to talk about a question that the Lord asked me on yesterday. He said, what garment are you wearing? Ask the people, what garment are they wearing? And we know another name for garment is clothing. So what clothing do you have on? You know, that's a loaded question, because anytime God asks a question, he already has an answer for us. And I'm going to do from the outside in. And what do I mean? I'm going to start with what's on the outside. We talk about garment. We talk about clothing. Like, what is the whole purpose of a garment? Because he's asking the question, what garment are you wearing? And by the end of this discussion, the end of what he's having me to say, I know we're going to have a beautiful relation and a time of self-examination. So, you know me, I'm always liking, I love to see it in the natural, because whatever it's in the natural, so it is in the spirit. Amen. So when we look at the definition for a garment, we know that it is an item of clothing. We also know that there is nothing new under the sun. Everything that we're experiencing now, everything that we will experience has already been experienced in word. So when we look at a garment, we can see a garment as a protective covering. And how is it a protective covering? Well, first of all, we don't want to see you running around in this world without clothing. And in some areas, it is against the law if you are naked. So our clothing acts not only as a protective covering from the elements, but it's also a way of shielding what God has made us into. In other words, when we out of dirt and he molded and he shaped us, gave us whether it was dimples or hazel eyes, however he formed us, and then he breathed life in us. We don't want people to see our form. And if we go to Genesis before Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, we saw that men, when I said men, I'm talking about Adam and Eve, that they were naked in the garden. And it wasn't until she ate that forbidden fruit that their eyes became open. And we look at Genesis, the third chapter, verse 7, it says, and then, verse 7 says, then the eyes of both of them were open, and you knew that they were naked, and made themselves covering. So, when Adam and Eve sinned, they put a covering because of shame. They realized, hey, we're naked. Oop, I don't want to see what you got. I don't want you to see what I have. And so they made the fig leaves as their garment, as their clothing. And we see that when they heard the voice of the Lord in the garden, they were afraid and they hid themselves. That always concerned me, and I have scripture in mind because it's going to tie into some things we're going to talk about in the future. But they hid themselves because they were naked, to cover themselves. But I want to share this. Even though they knew and they were quote unquote trying to hide, hide from God, that didn't happen. But what God did, he made a sacrifice, and he took the skin of the animal and he made tunics for them. So the tunics became their clothing. So now they were covered from their sins. So I want to set that there, saying that when we wear clothing, it is to, one, to protect us from the outside. If anyone lives in those states where they have true winters, you will not be wearing a tank top and shorts in the middle of winter with some flip-flops. You will have protective garment, such as a heavy coat, probably a turtleneck, probably some thermals underneath the clothing, as well as boot gloves, a hat, anything to protect you from the outside, full type of garment. So we've covered the purpose of the natural, looking at things natural. The garment, the natural, is to protect us from elements and to protect us from change. When we look at the garment that has come in an array of styles,
okay, got disconnected. All right, so what I was saying was when we look at expensive outer apparels, We can see that in the book of James at the second chapter, verses 2 and 3. It says, "For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothing and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judged with evil thoughts?" So you can see that fine garments, expensive clothing, was already in the Bible. But the point that I want to make when we start, before I really get into what I want to talk about, is even in your fine apparel, and when you see people in fine apparel, don't be judgmental. Don't assume that they've got it made in the shade, and because their outer appearance looks rich, are they rich in heart? Are they rich with the Word of God? Are they rich with His Spirit? So when God asks the question, "What garment are you wearing?" He's looking at your spiritual life. What garment do you have on spiritually? And the scripture I want us to go to, and it's a very familiar scripture that you have heard, and it is in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. So turn with me to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. We're looking at what type of garment are you wearing. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Whenever God gives a word, it's a reason. You know, the word always comes to encourage, but it also requires us to get in a place that when He comes back, because we know He is coming back, so when He comes back, that He will find us without spot and without a wrinkle. So 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and we're going to start at verse number 5. Verse number 5. I think I'm going to start at verse number 1. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents," excuse me, "unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, strong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, then lovers of God, having," and here's the key, "having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And such people," "and from such people turn away." So what garment are you wearing? Talking spiritually, is the garment that you are portraying looks holy, looks righteous? You've been doing religious things, and there's a difference between religion and relationship with God. Religion and relationship with God. So have you been doing the religious thing and don't have a relationship with God? Because if you have a relationship with God, you will realize that maybe what I'm doing is not godly. Maybe the things that I'm saying is not godly. Maybe my acts are not godly. Amen. So God is asking, well, what garment are you wearing? Are you wearing that garment of ungodliness? Or do you have on a garment of humility? What garment are you wearing? And again, I'm talking about your spiritual garment. And we're gonna park it right here for a second. We're going to look at some different types of garments. And let me just tell you this. It doesn't matter what it looks like right now. What do I mean? Because the word is coming, asking us, what garment are we wearing? So God already knows what's going on with you. And that's why it says it doesn't matter. We can't see each other. And even if we can see each other, God knows the heart of all man. We don't. Just like we read about in James, the person was dressed in the finest attire. And then you can have someone who is wearing non-designer garments. It doesn't mean that one is more holier than the other. One is more righteous than the other. It doesn't mean the one that's dressed in the designer outfit is more holier, more righteous, has a prayer life than the person that does not have the designer garment. We don't know the heart, but God does. But what we do need, what we do see, and what we do know are the fruit that's coming from the individual. So we can look at the fruit and tell where you are. What do you mean? Well, if you have a prayer life, it's not difficult to always have a garment of prayer on. What does that look like? You're not religious about it. If you are in if you see an accident, say you're driving down the highway, you see an accident, but you are so religious with your prayer, what do I mean? When you pray, and there's nothing wrong with the position because we all have different positions in our prayer. But falling on your knees and praying. So you're driving past this accident. Instantly, you should be praying. You shouldn't have to wait until you get to a destination and then pray. That's being religious. When you have a relationship with God, God will tell you, he'll put the words in your spirit. He'll put the words in your heart, and the words will come off of your lips. Even if you can't say it outwardly, you can say it in your heart. So we got to be careful that we don't get into a religious team and we're not developing a relationship with Christ. I can tell you that. Because that used to be me. When I first got saved, God was disciplining me. So I had a set time that I would pray. And it was 3 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the, at lunchtime, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock in the evening, 9 o'clock at night, and then we start this all over again. So he needed to discipline me. But as I grew, it became such a habit of mine that I thought that I needed to do it always, but I realized he was disciplining me. And my set time were, he gave me some set time because I was developing a relationship with him. Position was always on my face, on my knees, on my face. But as I was learning who he was and he was teaching me some things, I realized that there are going to be opportunities, times when I don't have time to fall on my face. If I'm driving down the highway, I see a horrific accident, I am not going to all of a sudden put my car in park and get out and lay on the road praying. No, I can still drive and I can still pray. I can pray in the spirit because God knows and he will intercede. Amen. So getting back to garments. So go with me to Isaiah. I love the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is one of my favorite books because regardless of where we are right now, he's able to wash whiter than snow. He's able to take the filth off of us. He's able to go deep down in our hearts and remove things out of it that may hold us back. He's able to saturate us with his blood so that we are covered in his blood as he's washing us afresh, as he's cutting us. Don't you know when you cut, it hurts? And when God cuts away, when he starts pruning us, he's not pruning us to hurt us. He's pruning us to take away all of the dead branches, you know, the branches that just there, it's not bearing any kind of fruit. So let's just cut that away. And then the ones that are bearing fruit, he cuts it back so that it can bear more fruit. So go with me to, see, where do I want to go? Isaiah 61. I believe that's where that scripture is. Let me get there right quick before I tell you to go there. I believe it is 61. Yeah, it is 61. When we start learning to God in spite of what we see, we praise God knowing that he is sovereign. We praise God knowing that he never makes a mistake. Man, if God said it, he's going to bring it to pass. So we've got to get to that place. We got to grow up. Can I just be real with you? Let's just grow up. The Bible tells us that as we're living on this side of heaven, as we're living in the earth, remember, earth is not our final destination. We're only passing through. We've got to do some things while we're here before we make it up to heaven in that mansion that he's already prepared for his people. He's got a prepared place for his prepared people. Amen? That's why we got to go before him without or blemish. So as we're going through, the Bible tells us to count it all joy. Come on. There's nothing too hard for me. I'm allowing you to go through some things because you need to develop some character. I'm allowing you to go through some things because you need to develop your prayer life. I'm allowing you to go through some things because you're not disciplined. I'm allowing you to go through some things because you're still worrying about what people are saying. And I tell you in my word to look toward me. Because I am the only one that can bring you out. Remember, I told you I'd never leave you, I'd never forsake you. No matter what you're going through, I'm going to be there to the very end because I love you with an everlasting love. So that's why you got to go through. There's some things in you that you've got to overcome. I can't have you working in the army if you're running the least little thing. You're fearful because I'm not giving the spirit of fear, but of love, peace, and of a sound mind. And then to think about it, what suffering are you doing? Because the last time I checked, I was the one that went to Calvary's cross. I was the one that had nails, spikes placed in my hands and on my feet. I was the one that had the thorn, the crown of thorns. I was the one that was whipped. I was the one that was spat on. I was the one that was lied on. I was the one that they tried to do anything evil to, but yet I didn't have any spot. I didn't have any wrinkle. I didn't have any sin in me. And if you notice, as I was going through all those things, I never mumbled an evil word. I had the ability to call down fire from heaven. I had the ability and the power to destroy them instantly. But I remember my purpose of being on this side. So people of God, we've got to watch what we say when we talk about, oh, I'm suffering. No, you're not suffering. It's your blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. All we're doing is going through circumstances. We're going through trials because it's building us, whether it's building our faith, whether it's building our long suffering, whether it's building our endurance, whatever it's building within us. So we got to learn to put on the garment of praise. So Isaiah 61 and verse 3. 61 and verse 3, and it reads, and I'm going to read first from the New King James Bible. It says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. So when we put on the garment of praise, we're taking off the filth. We're putting on beauty for the ashes. That means some things was burnt out of us, some things that was on us that shouldn't be there, that attached itself to us. You know, God had to get rid of it. So that's why we can praise him with our whole heart. The Bible says, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noonday. Praise him in the even. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. And why are you praising him? Well, you're praising him because you know the enemy has no power. It only has what God allows it to have. Victory is your name. And so when we praise him, we realize that we're going to get beauty for our ashes. We're going to be crowned with, we're going to have a crown of beauty instead of ashes. This is what the contemporary Bible says. It says to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. And the New King James says to give them beauty for the ashes. So there's going to be like an exchange, a bouquet of roses, if you want to think of it like that. You know, roses have such a sweet aroma. And you know, when ashes is on you, that means some things have been burnt off of you. And instead of smelling like burnt flesh and burnt wood, he is saying, look, I'm taking all of that away from you. If you would just put on the garment of praise. And let me tell you, I will be the first to tell you, it is not always easy to praise God when you're going through your storm, when you're soaring through the storm. You know, I know sometimes, and I was guilty of it when I was young in Christ, I used to say, Lord, take me out the storm. As I started to grow in Christ and develop my relationship, it went from God, take me out of the storm, to God, continue to be with me, storm. I know you said you never leave me and not forsake me. And then he takes me back to when the Hebrew boys, when they were in the fire and they were like, wait a minute, I thought we threw three in, but I see the fourth one. How did that other person get in? And why are they still there and not burnt to a crisp? Because it was God. And so what God was saying, if you praise me through your storm, if you praise me while you're in the fire, as you praise me while you're in the pit, guess what? Nothing is going to destroy you. I got you. I'm right there with you. This is necessary. You were made for this. No one else can go through the trials that you have gone through except for you. That's why we've got to keep our mind steadfast on him, because the Bible says, I will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is steadfast on me. Take your eyes off your situation. Take your eyes off of your trials and continue to just go through. Can do it. And it takes, the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. So sometimes it takes someone to just give you words of encouragement when the enemy tries to beat you down, because that is his purpose. He says, the Bible says, that the enemy comes as a roaring lion. He's not a lion, but he's pretending. So he's coming as a roaring lion to see who he can kill and deceive and destroy. That's his job. He wants to see who he can destroy. But guess what? He can't destroy you because you are covered by the blood of the Lamb. See, when Jesus came into the world, he didn't come looking for somebody dressed in a three-piece designer suit, already got it made and made in the shade and all together, don't need any help. He said, I came to seek those that are sick, those that are lost. He came for us. And we can never get enough of him. Never can we get enough of him. See, when the enemy comes to sift us like wheat, God came to give us an abundant life, a life where we can live in the land of milk and honey. When we feel as if in Psalm 34 and 18 says the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit, when we think we're down on our luck, when we think it is all over, guess what? That garment of praise will rise up on you and remind you that he is the great I am, that he is your strong tower, that he is the one who is soon to come, that all power lies with him. He's the one that spoke things into existence. I mean, how awesome is that? He spoke it. It's like, let there be light. Boom, light. There was light. And the same God that spoke and things appear is the same God that dwells within you. You just got to know that without a shadow of a doubt. And then do you have the garment of repentance? What does that look like? And we're talking spiritually. Well, when you know you've messed up, and you may have been in sin so long that your sin turned into iniquity, that turned into transgression. But the thing is, if you come to God with a sincere heart of repentance and you rip that garment off, you rip it, all it's saying to God is like, God, I'm sorry, I messed up. I need you to fix me. I need you to clean me up. I need you to wash me afresh. Ripping of the garment signifies that you are grief-stricken over your sin. Go with me to Joel, or Joel, depending on where you're from. I've heard people say Joel, and I had a classmate, and I remember calling him Joel, and he says, no, my name is Joel. So it all depends on where you are. So Joel, or Joel, the second chapter, looking at verse 12, it says, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, not half your heart, but all your heart. Turn to me with all your heart. See, when you have that form of godliness, you don't give God your whole heart. You give God the part that looks good, sounds good. The other stuff you want to hold on. So, God, you know, I'm going to give this up, but I'm going to hold on to this. Y'all, I'm telling you what I used to do in my younger years because I didn't know any better. And two, I was developing a relationship. I was a brand spanking new babe in Christ. Cleansed me, cleaned me, was the word. It wasn't the physical water being placed on me to wash me up. You know what I mean? We go to the restroom. When we're washing ourselves, we lather with soap or the body gel, shower gel. It doesn't matter what it is that you use with your cloth or sponge to get what you think the dirt is off of you. And then you look like you're nice and clean, correct? But when you go and take some alcohol on a cotton ball and you rub it over the spot that you just scrubbed clean, you find that there's some residue. So this is what God is saying to us when he's asking us, what garment are you wearing? Yes, you've washed yourself up. You've asked God for to forgive you of your sins, forgive you of your transgressions, and to forgive you of your iniquity, but you didn't give God all of your heart. You only gave him a part. So Joel 2, 12, I'm going to read 12 and 13 says, now therefore says the Lord to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, to surrend your heart and not your garment. It's a spiritual thing. So don't tear the garment on the outside, but I want you to rip that garment that's in your heart, that's covering your heart, that's allowing you to think that your right is right when your right is really wrong. That'll let you say that, oh, they're not talking about me when they're preaching. Oh, they're not talking about me. That word is not for me. When you know good and well that word's for you because that's who you are. And then there are times when God will allow the thing that he's trying to strip you from to be the thing that's annoying to you. Amen. If you know you struggle with a lying spirit, then you're going to be lying all the time, and somebody's going to be lying on you. You're like, Lord, I don't know why they're lying on me, because you got that lying spirit. So there are times when God will allow things to happen so that you can see yourself, because with that self-righteous mirror that you hold, you don't see you, but you see everybody else. You see the speck in everybody's eye, but you don't see that big glunk that has one of your eyes shut. And as I was, when I was growing up, we used to say, especially in the wintertime, you'd sleep and your eye would be matted, and they would say, like, take the crust off your eyes. Yeah, that's you. You see the speck in your brother's eye, but you can't see the crust that got your eyelid all closed. Amen? So God is like, well, what garment are you wearing? Are you wearing that garment of praise? Are you wearing that garment of repentance? What garment are you putting on? And the thing about it, if you are wearing that garment of repentance, it has to start with the heart, not half the heart, but the entire heart. God don't want half of you. He wants all of you. When you came out of darkness into the light, you didn't have just one foot in darkness and one foot in the light. No, you were so happy, and I'll speak for me. I was so happy to jump on over. I don't think I jumped over. I think I ran over when he opened that door for me so that I could come in. When he was knocking at the door of my heart, and I was holding on to I don't know what. I didn't know why I didn't want to come into the light, but then I realized the unknown is scary. But when you trust God with an everlasting trust, it's not that scary at all. You know, he says, come unto me, all those who are heavily laden, and I will do what? Give you what? He said, I'll give you rest. for your soul. And so I'd gotten to the point where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I needed rest for my soul, and I came on over. And then there are times when we need to put on the garment of righteousness. The garment of righteousness. You can't continue to be so, quote unquote, having that form of godliness and there's no righteousness in you. Yeah, God wants all of you, all of you, all of you. I think I have one more scripture that we're going to go over, and I'm looking at my time just to make sure I don't run out, because I do have some prayer requests that I will pray over. Amen. Let's see. I think I'm going to go to, when we talk about that garment of righteousness, let's see. Isaiah 61:10, and it reads, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. I exult in the Lord, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation, wrapped me in a robe of righteousness. Glory to God. A robe of righteousness as well as the garment of salvation. You know how special that is? And I'm just going to talk briefly on the salvation. There's one thing of being saved. If you confess your sin one to another, he is just to keep you from falling. And you can also believe in your heart and speak out your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he saved. He was raised on the third day, and then that means you are saved. But the salvation... The salvation, oh my God, the garment of salvation, what a gift. It is a gift from God. So I greatly rejoice in the Lord. He clothes me with not only the garment of salvation, and he's covered me with the robe of righteousness. This is what God wants to know. Like, what robe, what garment are you wearing? Two more scripture, and then we're going to be done. Go with me to Revelation 3:18. Revelation 3:18. Again, talking about garment. What garment are you wearing? Revelation 3:18, and I am going to read it from the, let's see, which Bible is this? The Contemporary, the Christian Standard, excuse me, the Christian Standard Bible, Revelation 3:18. What garment are you wearing? Tell you, God is, he's awesome. He's so amazing. And let me just first, I love my King James, y'all. When I got saved, he had me read the King James. I couldn't pronounce half the words. But out of obedience, I read. And I am so spoiled because I know the scriptures in the King James like the back of my hand. And so when I read it from another translation, I like the other translation because he has something for everybody. But it's just me. But I'm going to start with looking at the lukewarm church. I'm going to back it up to verse. Hold on, let me see which verse I'm going to go to. I'm going to start with verse 15. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counseled you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with salve, that you may see. As many as I love and rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. And I got to go to 20. I'm sorry, you guys. I got to go there. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So let me read this from the Christian Standard Bible, starting at 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. For you say, that form of ungodliness, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and I need nothing. And you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me. This is what God's saying. Look, you're a mess. I think instead of buying from Chanel and Gucci, buy from me. I advise you buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you may be rich, white clothes so that you may be dressed, and your shameful nakedness not be exposed, and anoint to spread on your eyes so that you may see. Many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be zealous and repent. See, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Father, I just thank you for your word on today. Father, I thank you, hallelujah, God, that we have to choose a garment that we are wearing. And Father, I lift before you right now, God, that those that are asking to be saved, God, I thank you for all the text messages, oh God. Father, we thank you right now that they're walking out of darkness into the marvelous light. Father, I thank you that their life will not be the same. And God, I thank you that heaven rejoices that the angels are being dispatched to watch over them. So Father, as we leave, hallelujah, God, on today, this fellowship, God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your faithfulness. God, I thank you for what you're doing in our heart and in our lives, oh God. Father, I bless your wonderful name. And we pray this and we seal it in heaven in Jesus' name, because it is your will. So it is in heaven, it is on earth. God bless each and every one of you, and I will see you on next week for another TDM Sunday Fellowship. This is Apostle Siobhan Simmons, and remember, with Jesus, nothing is impossible. Shalom.